From Deeper Dive, I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 87. And I am with the world's greatest co-host, Dawn.
How are you?
I see the thumbs up, so I'm liking you again.
That's so much.
Yeah, I know, I am. And guess what? I want to say happy holidays to everybody.
I know, right?
Also wanted to say we got a special principal in the house.
Yep.
Yeah, and his name is Principal Stevenson. Welcome back.
Hey, nice to see everybody today.
That's good, that's good. And as always, we'd like to thank our podcast listeners, whatever medium you've been using to listen to us, we thank you. Any questions and concerns, you can contact us at 954-388-8780. And as always, let's start off with a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Father God, we thank you once again for the holidays. We thank you very much for progress and things going on with people are out here. But we thank you for the communication that you've given us, Lord, through the podcast and other means of social media to get the word out. But Lord, right now we're in the times of peril, but we know where our trust and our decisions and everything lie on is the rock and with just you. We thank you once again for what you've done for us. Continue to bless us in a mighty way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So Principal Stevens, how has this year been so far? I mean, it's been really disruptive with COVID since March. And so what are the things that you had to put in place, especially for this last semester? What kind of things have you put in place? Have you had kids in school? Have you had them all online? What have you guys been doing?
Well, the first quarter, so the first half of the semester, we had all of our kids online.
Okay.
And, you know, that's a challenge. But my teachers were up to it. I think my biggest concern was our lower grade students, our kindergarten through second or third grade, mm-hmm. because that's so foundational. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned that they wouldn't have the foundational knowledge to be able to excel. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that although some schools have struggled with that, mm-hmm. My teachers have put on programs to teach their students that really we could televise. They're absolutely amazing, keeping the students actively engaged and learning. And so far in our standardized testing, our young ones especially are actually doing very well mm-hmm. and are learning their fundamentals in reading and math, which are so foundational mm-hmm. Moving forward. So we're very pleased. In the upper grades, we are not seeing the kind of advancement as we normally see with kids in the classroom, right. but they are making progress and they are learning. By the second quarter, we have about a quarter of our student body in the classroom.
Okay.
And when it comes to our standardized testing of those students, our students that are actually physically in the classroom are scoring streets above our students who are home.
Really?
So really do need to get our kids into the classroom. Yeah, it's night and day. I mean, our students at home are advancing and they are learning. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the students who are in the classroom are making quantum leaps in comparison to their peers who are staying home. So we do need to get our kids, you know, back in the classroom. We desperately do. Okay. But I am pleased with everybody's growth so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I know some parents are kind of embarrassed to find out if their daughter or son might be slow in learning, so to speak, you know, whether it's in front of a teacher or in front of a computer. Not too much at Plantation, right, that you've noticed?
No, not too much. I mean, we do have some of that. Mm-hmm. There are some students who actually I do house visits.
Okay.
Because things are so dysfunctional in their homes that they do need to have the principal show up at their front door. What's going on? Why isn't your student logging onto the computer? Why aren't they doing the homework? What can we do to help?
Right.
You know, and how can we get the learning back on track to where they need to be? And so we have some of those cases, but reality is it's not significantly worse than during a regular school year. You know, there are always students and families that struggle. It doesn't matter where you are, what school you work in. I've been a school principal for over 20 years.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You always have that element of struggle. But, you know, it's just a matter of you know, standing toe to toe and making sure that these young people get what they need. I think the thing that I've enjoyed about this doing the distance education is that our teachers are able to bring family worship into the home every single day.
Oh, wow.
And so when there are homes where there isn't worship, it's being broadcast in the home by the teachers when we do worship with our students every morning. Right. And then our chapels every Friday, of course, the students are actively involved and engaged in chapel, and the parents are there listening to the same messages. And so, you know, on a bright side of distance education is that we've been able to broadcast our school's strong spiritual program into our students' homes for everybody to be involved with. And I think it's good for the parents to be able to see the strong spiritual program we have at the school and be able to witness it. But it's also good for them to be involved with it, be able to hear it. Mm. And so that is working really well. So it's sort of expanded our spiritual reach from our students alone into their homes and with their parents and their extended family that may be living with them.
Wow. Amen. Awesome. Amen. Awesome. So yesterday we saw that you had like a combined effort, I suppose it was, of all the different years of all the Christmas programs that you had done as a class. Who came up with that idea?
You know, Pastor Joe called me and said, we've got to do something, you know, because for Sawgrass needs to be up onto the, you know, broadcast from the church, and we need to show the program. But the person who put together the actual program was a combination of people who are involved with the church media ministry and my secretary, Melissa Manguel. Melissa chose the pieces and set the order, but then the broadcast magic was done by the people in the audio ministry at the church who really put it together. The slideshow showing what was happening on campus, that was put together by Dane Hurst, who is a very known praise and worship leader, but he's also one of my teachers.
Right.
And Dane is absolutely a brilliant teacher, but he also brings so many other strengths to the table. And he put that together. And then Melissa Manguel and myself put together, you know, sort of the overall program, working with Addie, the church worship coordinator, put together the whole program. So it wasn't any one person. It was a team effort. The teachers took the pictures, got it to Dane. You know, if you get to deal with Sawgrass Adventist School, you'll realize there's really not one shining star. Everybody works together to make it work. And so everybody had a hand in it. Everybody had a part. Everybody had a voice. Everybody was included in the decision-making and was able to say yay or nay. And so in the end, the program that we put together truly represented the staff and the students who we were able to contact before we got up and going. And a little Allie Knott, who did the children's story.
Awesome.
Natalia Knott is like one of my teachers. Yeah. And Allie rocked it. She did a wonderful job.
She did.
And you know, with some of the technology that her mom included with the pictures as she told the story and all that, you know, I'm just so proud of all of my staff. They're just incredible. And when, you know, when Pastor Joe mentioned it to me, I thought, oh, Lord, we only have a week to put this together.
Right.
You know, within a few minutes, I sent a group text to all of my staff saying, what do you think? Can we do this? And all of them said, just jumped in with ideas and said, I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll put that together. Mm. And, you know, by Wednesday, it was all ready to go.
Wonderful. I kind of, after seeing the video, I kind of want to be an apple, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, I like that. She did a great job.
Yeah, she did a great job with everything.
Go ahead, you know, now today is the day that the vaccines are being spread out to now. I think from Michigan, I was hearing in the news, and now going to be, you know, distributed to all 50 states. What do you feel about that principle as far as the people in our area taking it? What is your opinion on that?
Well, I've been trying to study up on what these vaccines are and what the potential risks may be with using a vaccine that was developed this quickly. Mm-hmm. I was a little concerned, but as I've done my research and have looked into the individual ingredients and the vaccine and all of those things, although they're using a very new technology, I believe that the vaccines are going to be successful. And the chance for fatal after effects are pretty minor. In England, they did have a few people who were allergic to some of the ingredients, and yeah. But nobody died from it. They had an allergic reaction that was non-fatal. Mm-hmm. But in the end, we need to find a way to get on top of this virus and be able to move forward. The whole planet does. And yeah. We're starting to see, it's starting to get to the point here in our community where there isn't a family that hasn't been touched mm-hmm. in a negative way by this virus. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in this past week, in the past 2 weeks, I have families from the school where the whole family's down with the virus. I don't think they're going to die. They're relatively healthy people, but they're very sick. And I got the virus back in January of last year. I was one of the first people to get it in North America, and it's a horrible thing. It's no fun. I had no idea what I had. I was walking around spreading it happily with everybody I came into contact with. But I just thought I had a horrible version of the flu, and people who know me know that I don't let anything stop me. I'm out doing what I normally do.
How did you know you had COVID? How did you
know? I didn't know that either.
I had all the classic symptoms. I haven't been tested for it. But everything, including the loss of taste and smell. Actually, my sense of smell took over 4 months to return. Which when you're 50 and you're a vegetarian, it has certain advantages. We won't go into that for the overall audience. But there were people around me from time to time that probably wished they had lost their sense of smell as I wasn't noticing. I got over it, but it took me a long time. It took several weeks to be able to really be at 100%. And being somebody who is, who can measure his loss of strength because I work out and I'm in the gym a lot, it took me several months to regain the strength that I had lost as a result of the virus. But I am fully recovered now. But it's a horrible thing, and it's to be avoided. And if there is a good vaccine that is well tested, and they're starting to administer the vaccine with the most vulnerable of the population.
Right.
So if you're giving a virus, if you're giving a vaccine to an 80-year-old and they do okay with it, chances are that, a 30, 40, 50-year-old is going to do fine.
Right.
So I'm optimistic that this and the right wing media is spinning it as negatively as they possibly can, as they always do. And so some of it may be true, some of it may be not. So you've got to go online and do your fact checking. You've got to make sure that what you're hearing is right, because it's very easy to allow yourself to buy into the conspiracy theories of the vaccine being the mark of the beast. And all those things, that is truly out there in the ether, and to make intelligent, science-based decisions that will be good for the people around you and for your family. So,
do you think that you will require your students, if they decide to come back to school, to have the vaccine before they actually come back to school?
I'm personally not going to require that. Okay. However, my suspicion will be that Broward County Schools will require it. And if they do, it will be required for all students returning to any school. You've got to understand that. Mm. But as far as me requiring it, no, I'm not going to require it. Especially for children, in 99.9% of the cases, when children get the virus, it's incredibly, incredibly mild. Right. They run a mild temperature for a few days. Mm-hmm. They feel a little under the weather. And then, boom, they're back running on all 8 cylinders. And that the virus, I believe, was going through Sawgrass just before our spring break.
Right.
And many of our students were coming to school with just feeling under the weather, running temperatures. And then that was about 3 weeks before spring break. And then about the week before spring break, I think everybody was pretty much exposed and nobody was sick. It was weird. I'd come in to work and not a single student or staff member would sit. And so, that's anecdotal. I can't prove that with science, but I suspect that it was COVID going through our program. Again, we didn't know it. That was before any of the lockdowns or quarantines were set. But we didn't have, you know, again, a week before spring break, literally nobody was sick. And that time of the year, regardless, we usually have sick people. So, so you know, that seems to be the way it worked through our program. And, and again, you know, again, we've got to look at the science. We can't, we've got to realize that a lot of the media outlets make their money by having people watch their programming so that they can sell advertising. And so they sensationalize every single story and make it sound a lot worse than it really is to get people out there to be glued to the TV, you know, so that they can sell their advertising. But it is a significant virus. We need to take reasonable precautions. We need to keep our families safe. We definitely need to protect people that have underlying conditions, and especially our elderly, our grandmothers and grandfathers. We need to make sure we protect them.
Yeah,
that's so true. I never really liked this fear tactic, because I think it's why a lot of people respond, because of the fear tactic. I hate it.
Yep.
I really do.
Yeah, we need to avoid fear.
Yeah, I know. That's just nothing. What's your plans for 2021 for Sawgrass? Your plans, personally.
You know, as we go into 2021, some of it is wait and see with regards to, you know, what the state will allow us to do. I'm hoping we'll have more children in the classroom. Just because, as I mentioned, although all of our students are learning on a satisfactory level, my goal for my students is to be the best, smartest, most achieving students in the whole wide world. That's always my goal. And the students at Sawgrass, for anybody who has had the privilege of working in a school at Sawgrass, our Broward County kids are bright and motivated from families who, for the most part, value education, especially our Afro-Caribbean families that have a strong British education bias. And a belief in a strong education system. And so with young people and families that are spiritually tuned and educated, we can do incredible things in this community. Incredible things. One of the things also I'm working on with the Florida Conference is we need to find a property to build a full K through 12 program on. Florida Conference is committed into helping us. So if anybody hears my voice, join the team of people I have looking for a property that we can purchase to open a K through 12 program in Broward County. We need a student for our, we need a school for our students, for our population, who we can reach and teach. Because if any, for any of you who have lived anywhere else in the United States, you know that Broward County is the last place where people are on fire for Jesus Christ in North America.
Wow.
And so I personally believe that if we're going to re-evangelize this conference, it's going to happen from Broward County. And we need to make sure that our students are equipped all the way through high school and beyond to be able to have the tools to take Jesus Christ back to a post-Christian North America.
Amen. Amen. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to be part of that team?
You know, just give me a call at the school's number, which I don't, the school's number is, let's see, 954-473-4266. Or you can call me on my cell phone. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And that's 813. I know that's a Tampa number. I moved here from Tampa. 813-613-4332. Again, 813-613-4332. I don't mind if you can call, if you give me a call, and or you can email me at rob.stevenson@flcoe, Florida Conference of Education, flcoe.org.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Do you have a lot of people within your group that are looking?
I have three realtors that are that are parents in my school, one of whom is a commercial real estate agent, who are looking. And then we have several of our board members looking. And then I do a regular searches on the internet on commercial real estate sites to be able to see, you know, what's available and what potential properties could would be potential school property. Mm-hmm. So, and
how are you planning to fund this?
Yeah.
The Florida Conference actually has a significant amount of money that they put aside to be able to pay for a property for us.
Okay.
So some of it will come from funding from the community and from the school itself. Yes. So we will accrue some debt, but the Florida Conference is putting up the majority of the money. Our Florida Conference president is committed and has committed himself into opening up a K through 12, especially a 9 through 12 school for Broward County. He has committed himself to that. He has met with all the pastors from Broward County and has committed himself to that. And so if we all work together, and you know, the people in the Florida Conference are busy. You know, one of the things I really admire about our Florida Conference people is they do run understaffed in the conference office so that there can be more people working out in the field. But that means that those of us who are working in the field need to do our part, right? And help them out. And so one of the parts that we can play here in Broward is to send them potential properties to look at, because every single time I have, they've done a full investigation, they've gotten realtors involved, they've made they've made offers on the property and they move forward. So so let's help our conference out and it will help us out as well. It's a win-win, so that we can start another high school K through 12 program here in Broward for our students.
Okay.
Well, one question off the record: how's that car doing?
Oh, the new car.
Oh, my Chrysler.
Yeah, man.
I'm having trouble with it, brother. It's in the shop again. They can't figure out what's wrong with my AC system.
Oh, so, no.
Since I bought it, it's spent going on six weeks at the Chrysler dealership. They're trying to figure it out. It's there right now as we speak. So.
That's not fun.
No, it's a little disappointing. In fact, I will probably sell it and then buy another one. as soon as we can get the AC system figured out.
Yeah. I think they're probably thinking that too as well. They're like, no, let's fix it.
Yep.
No, I understand that. Well, Principal Stevenson, we want to thank you
for
this opportunity. The Christian Musical was great yesterday, just seeing all the kids.
I enjoyed that. Talented kids. Growing up.
Yeah,
and watching them grow up was so much fun. I just sat with a silly grin on my face through the whole thing. It was just so fun.
I love the costumes.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I be honest with you, I miss my costume. I played Pontius Pilate. I missed it.
And you did you were a god as well one time. Remember?
Oh yeah, one time.
Yeah, one god.
One day I may be one day, but I miss it. I just miss the congregation at Plantation. I miss the hugging. I miss all that.
Oh, man. Yes, I miss that so much. Oh, my goodness. They say hugs extend your life. I'm going to be dying prematurely if I don't get a hug sometimes.
put a gravesite right beside you, because I'm right there with you, man. So, but all the blessings to your family, the happy holidays. Just be safe. But I had no idea that you had the symptoms. I had no idea. You just didn't look like it. You didn't. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, God is good.
Absolutely. I know he is. All right. Well, once again, we thank you. Principal, if you mind, just lead us out in a word of prayer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity to share what's going on at Sawgrass Adventist School with these listeners and watchers of this podcast. We just ask, Lord, please, that everybody who is hearing my voice is blessed beyond their wildest dreams by your Spirit, and that we are prepared for your kingdom when you come to take us home. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Once again, Principal Stevenson, we thank you. Blessings to your family. I'm sure Donna probably remembered that question offline, so I'm sure. Yeah, she'll probably remember it.
Always.
Yeah, I know. It always happens. And we're going to thank our podcast listeners. Once again, any questions, concerns, you can text us 954-388-8780. And remember, even though it's the holidays, God is still in charge. God still loves us, and we love him. God bless everyone. Stay safe. Mm-hmm.